I hope that all of you have your bulletins and that there's a couple things in there, not just the brochure for next week, but also there's for, what's the offering? It's in the bulletin. I put the flyer in the bulletin. World Mission, there we go. Make sure that you have those as well. One of the things that I like to do when I have gone shopping or gone to the store is, and especially if I'm going to look at clothes, is to go to the t-shirt racks and read the sayings that are on the t-shirts that we have now. Anyone do that? Maybe I'm the only one that does that kind of crazy thing. But anyway, I was online the other day and they had a thing, some things, kind of funny t-shirt sayings. One says, my husband's wife is amazing. It's written on the t-shirt. You may get that later. One says, wisdom doesn't always come with age. Sometimes age comes alone. One says, I am in shape. Technically, round is a shape. And I like this one. You are absolutely unique, just like everyone else. We are unique individuals, that is for sure. And God created us to be unique because he certainly didn't want a bunch of me around, because that would be really boring and you know, there would be nothing but bald men around. Maybe bald women too. I don't know if that's the way it works, but he created us to be unique. And that's one of the things that's very common with all of us, the simple fact that we are unique individuals. We all have different personalities. We all have different interests and motivations. We all have different jobs and different personalities that can either be hot some days and cold some days. And sometimes we can have the personalities where we're always angry and sometimes we're always happy. God created us to be unique. And the same thing can be said about churches. Every church is unique, right? A church in Nashville, Tennessee is different from the church in Tampa, Florida, which is different from the church in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is different from First Baptist Church of Astoria. The church in Guatemala City is going to be different from the church in Kansas City, which is going to be different from the church in New York City, which is going to be different from the church in Mexico City. We're all different. Every church is unique. One of the things that always concerns me about churches is that as we move forward, sometimes we see fewer and fewer people on Sunday, and it can be kind of discouraging and frustrating, but we all know that God is working, and sometimes we have to seek what God wants us to do and do it, and sometimes we just have to let God do the work and not try to interfere with it, because it's going to happen. I think all of us realize that for us as First Baptist Church, what makes us unique is certainly the people. We are all unique individuals. And so we have created a community of faith that is very unique because of who we are. We have a lot of things that we need to do as a church. And we need to be consistent in those things. We need to be consistent in our children's ministry. We need to be consistent in greeting and bringing people into the church. We need to be consistent in our worship services. We need to be consistent in our serving. We need to be intentional in everything that we do. But we are unique. And I think if we think about it hard enough, and you can put this in your sermon notes here at the top, the fact that we are unique individuals and the fact that as a church we are unique, this is all God's plan. That's what he's trying to do with us. This church, 94 years old? I know that because my mother's 94 years old and she always tells me, Every time she thinks about this church, she thinks, you know, we're the same age. 94 years ago, when they started to build this building, I'm sure that they had a vision of what they were going to do and how they were going to interact in the community and transform lives. It wasn't just going to be a place where we just get together on Sunday morning, but it was a place that was going to be moving in the community. That's why the building is here. That's why it's where it's at. But think about it. The fact that we are all unique and the fact that we as a church is unique is part of God's plan. Just as God chose to create every single person as a unique individual, He has brought us together to create a unique community of faith. Just look around you. Look at the person sitting next to the person in front of you or behind you and say, you are a unique individual. And we're glad. Because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be a church. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have opportunities like we have right now to have an impact in this community. We need to be able to spread the word. Therefore, how we grow in Christ and how we fulfill God's mission, it also has to be unique. No church is going to minister the same way. There's a lot of churches in our community. We work together with five other churches for VBS, and we interact with other churches in our community. And every one of them is unique. Every one of them does things differently. Some have more resources than others. Some have more people than others. But we all are different. But there's one thing that we have in common, and that is to reach out to the people in our community. To not just gather together for ourselves and think how wonderful we are, but to let people know that there is a place to belong, a place to get support, a place to be loved. We have a responsibility. It's a heavy responsibility to play a unique part in this unique role that God has given us. And what is our mission? Well, I used this last week as our call to worship, Matthew 28. It happened during the time between where Jesus had been resurrected from the grave to where He was going to be ascending into heaven. He's addressing His followers, sharing with them what is commonly referred to as the Great Commission, telling them His mission for them, the job that they have now to do. And what did Jesus say? Again, you can put this in your sermon notes. Here is the mission Jesus Himself gave to us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It doesn't say here, therefore, pastors, therefore, teachers, therefore, deacons, therefore, music leaders. It just says, go. Go. This is the foundational ministry of every Bible-believing, God-honoring, Christ-centered church. It's what we all have in common. And yet, every church is still unique. And all of us in our uniqueness live out that mission. But we have a responsibility to be faithful, to fulfill what God is asking us to do in this time and in this place. The one thing we don't want to do is just do church. Showing up week after week, singing a few songs, saying some prayers, listening to a long-winded sermon, and then go on with life. No, we desire to honor God in this church, right? We want to not be doers, but we want to be the church, right? And truly, church as effectively as possible here at First Baptist Church. To do that, we need to understand and embrace what it means for our church to live out God's mission right here in this town. You see, I think it is our desire, and certainly God's desire for us, to live in step with the Spirit. Not rushing ahead, not lagging behind, but staying right in step with the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, and he was encouraging them about their freedom in Christ, and that they were to be living in the Spirit. He shares with them the fruits of the Spirit. We all know them, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, what Paul adds to that is 14 incredibly important words. Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So it is our desire to stay right in step with how the Spirit is leading us, correct? Is that what we're doing? Because the danger is, if we do not take the time to seek God, if we do not take the time to hear from God, if we do not take the time to understand what God is doing here and now, we run the risk of falling behind and heading off course. And then what happens is we're simply going through the motions. So we must do the hard work. The hard work of seeking God so that we can confidently move forward in step with the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the foundation for his mission, to go into the world to make disciples. Many times we have good intentions about helping others experience the truth and the hope of Christ, hopefully leading them to commit their lives to Christ. But there is a massive difference between good intentions and being intentional. One is wishful thinking, the other makes a difference. That is why we are called to be intentional in living out God's mission, each and every one of us, myself included. Now, how do we do this right here, right now? How do we live out this mission? It all begins with understanding that we are called to follow Christ. And how did Christ help place faith in the hearts of people that he communicated with? What he did was that he was willing and bold enough and strong enough to meet people where they were. And he led them into a life of following him. In fact, we see this in the gospel stories. One that I particularly enjoy is the story of Zacchaeus, Luke 19. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. It says, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, or if we want to be politically correct, he was vertically challenged, he could not get over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way." Now this is the interesting part here, folks. "When Jesus reached the tree, he looked up and he said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner.' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, I titled my message this morning, "Be a Tree." Now, some of you may be looking at that and going, "What is he talking about? He's finally gone off the deep end. He's finally got a little crazy." Well, I'm going to get to that in a moment. I want to talk about, just briefly, about this whole situation. Now, the city of Jericho at the time was a very important city, especially in the time of Jesus, because the city was the center of commerce and served as a hub for all trade routes through Jerusalem. And Jesus is entering the city. As often would happen when Jesus would enter a city, the large crowds began to appear. They had heard of this holy man, who everyone was saying was the Messiah. And then we have this vertically challenged man named Zacchaeus, a wealthy tax collector, which at the time was someone who was considered corrupt. He was allowed by the Roman government, permitted to collect taxes in excess of what the government needed. This is how the tax collectors made their money. So they would squeeze money out of people. Some of it made it to Rome, but most of it, or some of it, also ended up in the pockets of the tax collectors. So like the others, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see him. But because he was short, he climbed this sycamore tree. And the most amazing thing happened was that Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and he spoke to him. I mean, remember, there's a large crowd of people, right, huddled all around him. And for some reason, as he's walking past this tree, Jesus stops in the midst of this crowd, and he looks up and he sees this man hanging on the tree limbs. And then he says something I think is rather funny. He invites himself to Zacchaeus' house for a meal. The people started grumbling. "Zacchaeus, he's not a good man, he's a sinner, he's full of selfishness, he's corrupt." Yet, Jesus met him where he was. And through this encounter, Zacchaeus' life was forever changed. And notice, he was dramatically transformed, because Jesus guided him right into the life of being a passionate Christ follower. And not only was Zacchaeus' life changed, but he took immediate action in serving the kingdom. Think about it. God's mission was impacted that day in a powerful way because this one man who embraced Jesus and started living as a passionate Christ follower. I love this story. I love it because it's a perfect example of the truth that every person is somewhere on a journey with God. Now, some of you this morning may know somebody who's on a journey right now. Maybe they're like Zacchaeus. Maybe they need to see Jesus, but there's too much stuff in their way. They can't see him. Maybe it's a spouse, a friend, a child, a grandchild. Maybe it's someone that's really close to you, someone that maybe you share coffee with or someone you work with. Maybe it's a client or a fellow student. Folks, if we can't talk to our own people, our own relatives about Jesus and bring them to church, how are we going to do that to others? There are a lot of Zacchaeuses out there who are looking for a place to belong. What Jesus did was he looked beyond what we might see in that person, and he looked at their potential. Every single one of you has potential. Every one of you. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done, mistakes you've made. You have potential. And if that's true, and it is, then there are people out there that also have potential. We are challenged to do the same thing that Jesus did, to meet people where they are at, to help them and to help them experience the hope and the power of Christ. And we must be intentional. We simply cannot have just good intentions about sharing our faith. Now, there's something about this story that I want you to really remember. Whenever we read the story of Zacchaeus, we don't think too much about the sycamore tree. It's just a nice little part of the story. But as I was thinking about it this week, I really was struck by this tree. The sycamore tree in this story gave Zacchaeus an opportunity to see Jesus. So my question for you today, as we prepare for next week, is this: how can you be a sycamore tree for the people in your life, for the people that you connect with? Because there's a lot of Zacchaeuses out there, and what they're looking for is a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Next week, we are going to have this amazing opportunity, people. Don't let it go by. Don't ignore it. National Back to Church Sunday. And throughout this week, we are going to be praying about this. I hope that you at home, or if you come here to the church, we're going to pray about this event. Because we cannot continue when we have 20 or less people on Sunday morning. Because there's a lot of Zacchaeuses out there who need to know Jesus, and they need to be here. A place to belong. So we're going to pray about it this week, and at the end of this service, we're going to pray. We're going to take our cards, and we're going to pray for those people that God is sending us to. We're going to pray that next event is going to be the best event this church has ever had. We're going to turn this place upside down. We're going to fill the pews with people who need to know Jesus. This week, we are going to be a sycamore tree so that people will come to know Christ. A prayer that I would pray for you today is, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, open doors so that we may see who we need to be a sycamore tree for right now. Now, it might be strange to think about us being inspired by a sycamore tree, but what an awesome privilege it is to be able to. Be aware, though, that there are some dangers, because we pray to God asking Him to put someone in our lives, or to lead us to someone, or to direct us to a person that He wants us to talk to. You know what happens? Jesus is going to come through with that. So be ready. Be prepared. It could happen this afternoon. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen anytime this week, that God is going to open doors, give you the words to say. You have the little flyer to hand out. It's not that difficult, folks. More than that, we want to learn to be intentional, to commit to inviting a person to church or persons, to commit wanting to help them find this place and make it a place where they can belong. There's no question about it. There's a lot of things that we need to have in place, but in the meantime, amen? Because we're unique and this church is unique. We may not be able to do things like other churches in town, but we can do our best. And we can invite people to be a part of this community of faith. So who might be the Zacchaeuses in your life? And how can you be the sycamore tree for them? Next week's going to be a great week. I hope that if each one of you invites one person, well, we'll double in size, right? And if you invite more than one person, then we will be even better off. Please don't miss this opportunity. I want you to take your bulletins. I want you to hold on to your cards, okay? They're in your bulletins. If you need more, we have a few more. Some of you have already picked some up, but if you haven't, pick this up. Okay, and as we close our service this morning, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God will lead you to the right person to give this card to. That He will open the door for you. That He will open your heart. That He will give you the words to say. That He will point you in the right direction. And you might be surprised who you might be ending up giving this to. It might be that homeless person that you pass on the street every day. It might be your spouse, your brothers, your sisters, your kids, your grandkids. It might be a coworker. And maybe some of you right now have it in your head who you're going to give this to. I would love to see families in church on Sunday morning. I would love to see kids in church on Sunday morning, children, youth, elderly, homeless, needy, people who are addicted. I want to see them in church because they need a place to belong. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we take these cards, I ask that you direct each one of us to the person that you want us to give it to. And I just pray, Lord, for that person. I pray that their hearts might be open, that their souls might be open, to their minds might be open to what they are being asked to do. I know it's scary. For some people, church is a very scary thing. Some even think it is a mystical thing, but we want it to be a place where people can belong and feel comfortable and feel like they're supported and they're loved. They're not singled out as being different. We're all different. We're all unique. And we want to be able to see people come to know you. We want to be a sycamore tree for the Zacchaeuses in our life. And so I pray that you will give us that person or persons to hand this out to. And that we will go forth under God's wisdom and direction to be the sycamore tree in your neighborhood, in your home, in your workplace, the classroom, and on the street. And that next week we can not only invite them to church, but we can invite them to lunch. And we can invite them to be in a place where they can finally be comfortable and find some peace and support and love. I pray this in your name, dear Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.